If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Welcome back into the Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest, cranking out those 50,000 watts. You can listen worldwide by getting the app at 810WHB.com. By the way, this hour of Sports Saturday is brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller time. I mean, come on, it's Saturday. It's college football. Grab a Miller Lite. Crying out loud. Have some fun. Lord knows the games that are on right now aren't any fun. Good gravy. I was just checking the scoreboard. Michigan, Maryland. That's the ABC game today. Michigan's up 14-0. Now Michigan's like a 21.5-point favorite. Have you watched Michigan play much football outside the Notre Dame game this year? They don't score a lot. Ask Jed Marshall. Michigan doesn't score a lot. I mean, I'm a fan of Iowa. Iowa doesn't score. Michigan doesn't score. The Big Ten doesn't score. And Maryland is awful. The other 11 o'clock game today, which is just a brutal, number 23, Wake Forest hosting NC State. Wake Forest with a 24-7 lead. So, yeah, grab a Miller Lite and try to digest those two dogs of games. We got an exciting one right here, right in our own backyard. It's the Sunflower Showdown, K-State, KU, 2:30 kickoff. Our coverage begins here at 1 o'clock with the network pregame show. Actually, our coverage has been going on all day today. Since 9 o'clock with the college game day with Danny and Stan. I'm kind of carrying that on, and then the official network shows at 1, kickoff at 2:30. And again, this hour of Sports Saturday brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller time, and our guest right now is Johnny Beck. Johnny, if you got up early today and wanted to ease into your day with a good football game, you ain't getting it.
No, not today. I mean, you wake up excited. Obviously, the weather's cooperating, and you know, you're going to have a bunch of people excited for this game today.
Yeah, I don't understand, and I don't want to dwell on this. I talked about it earlier in the show. I don't understand scheduling sometimes. It's a thin schedule for the Big 12 today because almost everybody's off. Plus, you had that Thursday night West Virginia-Baylor game, which came down to an exciting finish. But you have K-State and KU, and then you have TCU and Oklahoma State. Those are the only two games on the board today. And they're both kicking off at 2:30. Why would the conference not ask for a switch-up in that so fans could watch both games?
Yeah, you would think they would have some sort of a flex schedule where they could move one of those games. You're not going to hear me complain as, you know, we're going to get sunshine for most of the day. And, you know, I think that they might take that into consideration when scheduling these games. But, yeah, you would think they'd move one of those games to a more of a primetime slot.
Yeah, well, it does. I can complain about it. It's not going to change. They're both going to be played. And look, TCU Oklahoma State is not must see TV. You can catch the highlights later, I guess. But you got some excitement over in Lawrence today. And honestly, Johnny, you know, all the years of covering this team and you and I doing it together, there have been maybe a couple of games where you thought, okay, this could be a special game for KU, and then for one reason or another, it doesn't happen. Occasionally, you get the shock, like the Texas game a few years ago on the last second field goal. This is the first time in a while I'm hearing Jayhawks fans around Kansas City and K-State fans around Kansas City saying, this game is huge. K-State's coming off the upset over Oklahoma. KU got a good last-second win against Texas Tech, although one of the most unusual finishes I've ever seen. I don't think I've ever seen a finish like that. But you got a lot of excitement on both sides for this game, and they're expecting a huge crowd over in Lawrence.
Yeah, I think you're going to get close to a sellout crowd. You know, hopefully a lot of that is – you know, the KU fans is, you know, it's sometimes hard to get those people to come out. But I think last week's win, you know, really kind of rejuvenated this crowd. But this has a feel of 2004 when we had lost 10 straight to K-State. And, you know, Coach Mangino had pretty much buried us all week with, you know, at some point you guys got to get sick and tired of losing to these guys. And, you know, let's try and go out there and snap the streak. And I think that's a similar message today that, you know, this is your in-state rival. And, you know, you got to get sick and tired when people always are talking about, you know, when's basketball season start and all that good stuff.
And K-State in the same situation again. They've beaten the Jayhawks 10 years in a row.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, you know, give a lot of credit to K-State. That's a tough for anybody to get 10 in a row, but to have it against your in-state rivalries, you know, that it really helps with recruiting. And I think, you know, we've seen that success on the K-State side is they've been able to bring in a lot of the top recruits in the state of Kansas the last few years.
We're talking with former KU football player Johnny Beck, who also does analysis for the Jayhawk TV network. Johnny, real quick on last week's game, maybe not real quick, but the one thing I mentioned earlier, the wild finish, and you know all about how hard it can be in a kicking situation to figure out what's going on, especially when the rails come off. So KU lines up for a game-winning field goal, potential game-winning field goal. It gets blocked, and at that point, I'm not really sure. The ball's rolling around. Texas Tech kid picks it up, who I've heard from everybody is a super kid, and I hated for this to happen, but he panics, and he turns around to lateral to keep the play alive when he didn't need to, and threw it to nobody. KU jumps on the ball alertly, one of the offensive linemen. They line up, and they kick it again, and they get it. You've been in those situations, I'm sure, with a block, and, you know, it's chaotic. What goes on in that situation? When that happened last week, what were you thinking?
Well, first, I don't think you ever
did we lose Johnny?
You know, like, you said, hello?
Okay, we got you back, Johnny. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I don't think you practice that play in practice at all. I mean, that's one of those things where you're just going off instinct. You see the ball on the ground, and you're just trying to jump on.
Got the same thing that happened to Riley Gates. Got the I-70 phone disease. Hang on, Johnny. Let me put you on hold for a second. I'm going to have Joshua check back in on you and see if we got a little bit better signal. There's just whether you're coming from Manhattan to Lawrence or Kansas City to Lawrence, there's just a couple of dead spots on I-70 where it happens. But we were talking about the finish to the Texas Tech game last week. And look, we've all seen hundreds of football games, 1,000 football games, whatever it is over our lives, depending on how old you are. I've never seen a football game end like that. I've seen a lot of crazy things. We all saw the miracle with the Tennessee Titans a few years ago and the Music City Miracle. We've seen wild, crazy stuff. I've never seen a potential game-winning field goal get blocked, picked up by the opposing team, then lateraled to nobody and recovered by the kicking team, and then line up again and get the game-winning field goal. So that's what I was talking to Johnny about, because he did a lot of kicking in his day, and so he's, I'm sure, been in wild situations before. But like you said, you don't practice for situations like that. Is his signal just dead, Joshua?
Johnny just pulled up to the stadium. He's going to call us back
okay. When
he gets to a better location.
Okay, that'll work. That'll work. Because we've got some stuff we can kind of move around. So no worries. We can go long in this segment if he calls us back right away. So that's what I was kind of talking about, because it's a crazy play. It's nerve-wracking, because if you're the kicker, the holder, you're somebody that's, you know, not near the play. You don't know where the ball is. You don't know what's going on. You have no idea. Maybe you're going to overtime. Maybe it's dead. I don't know. And then the kid from Texas Tech turns around and laterals it to nobody. The ball is loose. KU lineman jumps on it. They get another attempt at the field goal with 3 seconds left. Just absolutely crazy. But a big boost for Kansas in terms of, it doesn't matter how it unfolded at the end, but the fact that you got the win over Texas Tech, which isn't the best team in the world, they're not the worst team in the world, but for a team like KU that just has been so desperate for conference wins of any kind for the last 10 years, it's got to be a huge thing. And with the way the offense has been rolling since Coach Dierman took over as the offensive coordinator, call him by his whole name, Brent Dierman, Coach Dierman. So everything's rolling. They're putting up, you know, over 550 yards of offense a game. They're putting up a ton of points. They put up 48 against Texas the week before that. And so it was just everything was great. Then you get your matchup with your biggest rival, K-State, and they're coming off their exciting win over Oklahoma, a game in which they went into the fourth quarter leading 48-23, a game I thought was over. Cruise control. Maybe throw another field goal on the board just to, you know, make yourselves feel good. Get a touchdown if you can. But the offense or the defense crawled into a shell. Oklahoma kept marching down the field, and for the most part, K-State was trying to hold them to field goals, and they did that three times. But they got close at the end. It came down to an onside kick and then a reversed call. Kick touched an Oklahoma player before the ball, or touched the Oklahoma player, and they're saying he got shoved into him, but K-State fans are saying, well, it was his own player who shoved him into him. So, controversy on both sides. So, the bottom line is the buildup to this week is great. It's the 117th annual Sunflower Showdown. I believe they played it 109 consecutive seasons because there was a break in there somewhere, but 109 consecutive seasons. So, it just sets up perfect today. And I'll be curious to see, talking about this a little bit earlier with Riley, I'll be curious to see how K-State's defense handles KU's new-look offense. Because it is different. All the more RPOs. Carter Stanley playing with a ton of confidence. Puka Williams rushed for 190 yards last week. I mean, everything's just kind of clicking right now. And now you can play a really good defense in K-State. And you're going to play a K-State team that likes to hold on to the football. Dominate time of possession. Try not to give you chances. Try to limit your ability to not only get the football, but move the football. So it'll be interesting to see how all of that shakes out. All right, we got Johnny back now. Johnny, we had Riley Gates on the show earlier, and the I-70 monster got him. I guess he got you too. So
yeah, you know, it's always tough once you pull into Lawrence. They don't have all the cell service that you're used to.
Well, let me kind of take you back and reset it. The end of that game last week against Texas Tech with, you know, the field goal gets blocked. It's loose on the turf. Texas Tech kid picks it up, panics, laterals it to nobody. KU lineman jumps on it, kick to win it. So kind of take me through that. You mentioned that you don't really practice anything like that, but that's got to be chaotic if you're not right next to the football. You don't know what's going on.
Yeah, you're just basically going to backyard football at that point, just kind of going off instincts. And obviously, the KU long snapper was able to jump on that ball, and luckily there was a few seconds on that clock to be able to send that field goal unit back out for that game-winning field goal. And, you know, Liam Jones, he's given a second opportunity, and he told us on our post-game show, he just tries to go out there and go one for one. So he was able to kind of block that out of his memory and get back out there and make that game-winning kick.
Well, Les Miles had said after the game when he talked to him before the second kick, he's like, "Don't worry, coach. I got this one." And Les Miles would not let him go out on the field until he smiled, because he never smiles. I thought that was interesting. This is the most pressure this kid has ever had, and Les Miles won't let him go out there unless he smiles.
You know, you like a head coach that kind of can bring that out in the player, because he's just trying to get him calmed down. You know, sometimes the kicker, you know, you think that it's you know, life or death if you don't make or miss a kick. So just kind of letting him relax and just telling him that we're obviously putting you out on the field. For whatever reason, you know, the last one was blocked, but obviously live to play another day, and you get to go out there and have another shot to be the hero.
All right, you're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Our guest is Johnny Beck, Jayhawks TV analyst, also a former Jayhawk player. This hour of Sports Saturday is brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller time. All right, Johnny, the offense the last 2 weeks is everybody's been raving about it since Les Miles made the decision to replace the offensive coordinator, promote Coach Dierman. And look, Johnny, I read his bio from his time at a really small college, and his offenses were putting up 560 yards a week. It was one of the most prolific offenses in the country. And I thought, okay, that's at Bellevue. That's a tiny college. This is the Big 12. This is Power 5 football. And I'll be darned if he hasn't done it in back-to-back weeks. And Carter Stanley looks like a more confident player, has more belief in the game plan with the RPOs, is more in sync with the receivers, has more trust in his ability to make decisions, and the running game has, I mean, every part of this off. Is it just as simple as a coordinator shift and he decides to run some different plays? What's led to all this? Well, we're losing the signal once again. How about this? Johnny, you still there? We'll give it one more try.
Yeah.
Okay, go
ahead.
I'm here. We're talking about the offense. Go ahead.
Yeah, so Dierman's the guy that
a lot of energy, brings a lot of youth, and I think, you know, guys are, they gravitate towards somebody like that. When you look at a guy like,
oh man,
you know.
Yeah, I think we're losing it again, Joshua. Just if you can put him on hold and holler at him for a second, tell him we'll try it again next time. It's just sometimes when you're in Lawrence, it just those sort of things happen. So yeah, it's the way it goes sometimes. Not everything's perfect in this world. There was somebody had a guest on this week on one of the other shows, and they ended up having to call in on an old-fashioned hard line if they still exist in certain places. So. We'll try to get another time with Johnny. But, yeah, I was looking at the offensive numbers here, and let me go through my notes for what KU's been doing. Oh, which page? Where was that? See, I had this in a different order the way I wanted to talk, the things I wanted to talk with Johnny about. But you look – okay, here we go. So, Dearman and the numbers that KU is putting up the last couple of weeks. Averaging 548 yards per game the last two games. Including averaging 7.07 yards per play. That's something we haven't seen from Kansas in a really long time. An offense that can move the football. What we've seen over the last 3 to 5 to 10 years is an offense that'll move the ball 2 yards and 3 yards and 2 yards and punt. Or occasionally you got a Steven Sims Jr. open for a 60-yard bomb, who, by the way, is off to a great start with Washington in the National Football League. I think he's going to have a pretty good career. But other than that, whole lot of nothing for Kansas offenses for too long. So the last two games with Brent Dearman in charge, 548 yards per game, over 7 yards per play. Carter Stanley at quarterback, they finally came into a season saying, we got one quarterback. We ain't playing the hokey pokey like the last 3 years, which was just, it was frustrating to watch. And I didn't go to Kansas, so I have nothing invested in it other than the fact that I want our local schools to do well because it's a lot more fun, wouldn't you agree, if KU and K-State and Mizzou are doing better? So Carter Stanley playing with more confidence, making better decisions, and getting better performances from the folks around him. Last couple of games, completed 53 of 84 passes at a 63% clip, 725 yards, and 7 touchdowns, a career-high 4 against Texas on the 19th. I mentioned the small school. It wasn't Bellevue where Dearman was. It was Bethel. And when he was at Bethel, they were number 3 in the country with 540 yards per game and averaging 55 points per game. So look, not everything he coached at Bethel translates to Kansas or the Big 12 or a Power 5 school, but it's worked for 2 weeks. We'll see how it works against this K-State defense. And then you can spin it out against Oklahoma State. Iowa State's going to be a big one in 3 weeks. They have a really good defense. Then you got Baylor. So we'll see how it all shakes out. All right, we will take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll hear part of the conversation that Seren Petro had this week with new Royals manager Mike Matheny. I thought it was really good, and I know not everybody can listen to every show every day, and maybe you haven't had a chance to download the podcast yet. If you do, you should. If you have time, you should, because I'm going to play a part of it, not the whole thing. But we'll do that, and then we'll wrap things up, and then we'll hand you off to the KU Network. And that'll start at 1 o'clock, and then KU K-State kickoff at 2:30. Again, this hour of Sports Saturday is brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller time. You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Back on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. We've got about a half hour left, and then we'll hand it off to the KU Network pregame show. And that'll lead you into K-State and KU at 2:30 live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. This hour is brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller time, which if you look around college football, might be a good time to have a couple of pops because it's an ugly day. In fact, Joshua, I was going through, I've got the college scoreboard up in here. I always do on the computer. And there's only two games involving ranked teams right now, so I had to go to the whole FBS list just to see if there's anything of interest. So just to update you, number 14, Michigan, leading at Maryland 21-0. Yuck. Number 23, Wake Forest at home, leading NC State 31-10. Barf. UCF and Houston, UCF leading 21-20. And I don't really... Nebraska on the road at Purdue, Nebraska leading 10-7. I mean, Nebraska's season might be on the line today. They're 4-4, and they just have not been great. Let me check the rest of their schedule they've got coming up. So Nebraska, after Purdue, they're going to have Wisconsin. They're going to have Maryland. They can get a win there. And then they've got Iowa. Iowa's been kicking their ass for a few years. Well, in the Big Ten version of getting your ass kicked, like, you know, 17-13, something like that every year. So this, I mean, this could be the final domino. If it doesn't get knocked over, Nebraska could be looking at not making a bowl game again. Scott Frost. And Bloom is off the rose. And I'm looking, there's no good game going on right now. And the rest of the day, outside of Georgia and Florida.
And this Sunflower Showdown really is one of the most intriguing matchups in all of college football, which is, it's nice to say.
Absolutely. It's been too long. It's just not a lot of fun stuff today. Notre Dame's playing Virginia Tech. If you thought today was going to be a great day to sit around and watch some good college football, this ain't it. There's two or three games I'm interested in, and that's about it. Florida State at Miami? No. Okay, 15 years ago. Yeah. Nope. Maybe Washington and Utah. That could be a little fun. That game's in Washington, or at Washington. Just going through trying to pick out a couple of other ones, and no, just not a lot in there today. Oregon, USC tonight. I'll take in some of that. I like that. Oregon, number 7, USC. USC has won games with three different quarterbacks this year. And they've had two or three wins over ranked teams at home. So, don't know about USC, who's got a new AD, by the way. It's nothing. It's not a lot. All right, we're going to switch it up and go back to Royals baseball for a minute. If you missed Seren Petro's conversation with new Royals manager Mike Matheny this week, it was really good. Look, I consider myself a pretty good interviewer. Seren is fantastic. He gets to exactly what you want to know, plus what he wants to know, which I think a lot of us think we would like to know as well. And it's never easy when you interview somebody you've never interviewed before. Maybe he's interviewed Mike Matheny at an all-star game or so. I don't know. But it's not easy because you don't know what you're getting. It also makes it very exciting. You don't know what kind of answers you're going to get. You have to be very well prepared, and you have to be good at listening to what they say. Because that's where an interview turns. You listen to what they say. People who don't listen and just are looking to ask the next question and check off their list of 10 questions, those aren't good interviews. Seren is really good at listening and then taking the conversation in whichever direction it's going to go. So if you have not listened to the entire thing, you can get it on the podcast page at 810WHB.com. We're going to play you a few minutes here, and Seren starts with the fact that everybody got to hear the press conference, but now you get to talk to people individually. Here's Seren Petro with new Royals manager Mike Matheny.
And I heard your press conference yesterday, and your name had been out there, right, for quite a while. What about the Royals organization? You'd been in the organization as a special assistant. What attracted you to the Royals? I know baseball is, I'm not going to say incestuous, but it's a club. I mean, especially once you reach the major leagues.
Yeah.
Once you earn your manager's stripes, you're a man that is, I think, much in demand, and I'm sure you had a lot of different offers. What brought you to the Royals? Forget about the managing job, just in the role that you had before. Why KC?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do exactly what you were talking about, the relationships, former teammates, people who spend time in different organizations in a lot of different roles. Some of them you never even know about, but they get a chance to kind of look behind the scenes to see what some place is all about, what the people are all about. And there was no secret about something was really good going on here as far as the people go. And then it took a quick conversation with Dayton to realize that there was a lot of synergy in how we kind of thought about how a product should look. And the fight that guy has, first conversation, he's got veins popping out of his neck and spitting. And
it's a rather intense individual.
I love it. And I think I show it differently, but that's how I'm wired too. And that really rang true with me, like, wow, you know what? These guys are serious about making something happen here, and not just making something happen here, but keeping something really good in this area for a long time.
And then that's one of the things you said yesterday, talking about sustaining, and Dayton has said that. It's really, your comments are an extension of what he has said, that, you know, certainly we had great times here. 800,000, a million of our closest friends down at Union Station for the parade in 2015, and back-to-back pennants, and two more years of contending baseball, and then we're now in, I don't even like this word, a rebuild mode, right? We'll get to that in a minute, but how do you sustain? Like, what is it? Is that even possible, right? Having been around the game, and I know, I think a lot of times when you've been in the fight like you were as a manager, some of the most valuable time you can have, and you kind of touched on this, is when you step away and now you have time to look at the whole, you know, forest. But can a small market sustain it? You know, the Oakland A's don't seem to think so. They tear it up every 4 or 5 years and then come back at it. Can you actually sustain it the way your old organization, the Cardinals, seemingly have for quite some time?
Well, and I think that's where you start buying into to some of the philosophy. And absolutely, I stole that sustaining from Dayton, because that's kind of the mantra of here is we anticipate that winning's going to happen. And part of, you know, I think what Dayton wants to see and what I believe the Kansas City Royal fans want to see is, how do you stay in the fight long term? And how are you always relevant when it comes down to the end of the season? And how do you get a chance to do what this great fan base did at Union Station that in 15? I mean, how do you make it happen again? And I trust the fact that there's a group of very smart people that are putting some of those pieces together. And my job as a manager is to step in and just do my piece. And I'll give you some of my information. I'll give you, if you want, my opinion. But when it comes down to helping to build that, I've said this. I came in here wanting to learn. How'd you guys do that before? Because that's pretty cool to build what they built from 100 lost seasons. All of a sudden, you got a team that's in the World Series 2 years in a row. That's incredible. And then they said, you know what, we know what we need to do to get us there and keep us there. And I think part of it comes down to that culture of believing. It comes down to an investment, too. And now we've got a great new ownership group that's involved and how that's going to play in. I mean, there's a lot of different things that are going to have to – people are going to have to just learn and grow. And I just want to be a part of that process.
Does sustaining it mean you've got to take more time in rebuilding it or in putting it together? I keep trying to stay away from that word you don't want to use, but
no.
Is it hard to answer questions with a wolf over you? Because I know it's tough to ask them with a giant wolf running around.
They don't get much
you.
Better than that. No, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I don't even remember the question. The wolf just completely rattled.
He does that. He has that ability. Does it take longer to put it together the right way, build a stronger foundation to quote unquote sustain it, to have. You know, do we need to be more patient as fans and be prepared for it to take longer to have this team to be built for the long haul?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I haven't done this. And I'm fortunately, once again, spending time with some guys who have built it and then realize, okay, what could we have possibly done to maintain that? And that's part of and that's not deflecting or putting it on somebody else.
Right.
That's what I want to figure out. That's what I want to be a part of. And I don't think there's any mapper. Everybody would do it, right? Everybody would all of a sudden cut their payroll, which would increase profits and then still put a great product on the field.
Sure.
Why wouldn't everyone do that? I mean, it's just a great challenge of being here. But, you know, as I talk about what I see the foundation. And I see something just like any culture, whether it's in a bank like this or at the station with you, you find out where there's good people trying to do the right thing, good people investing in other people, treating folks right, and you see talent. You've got these different pieces like, man, this looks and feels right. And there's no reason, as you start looking, yeah, there's some other teams that are going to be able to go and spend and go on shopping sprees for some of the biggest names in the game. That's going to happen. There's always going to be a challenge with that. I get that. But how can we find a niche in the market to where we help that player that's kind of always been on the fringe? Can we develop? What can we see analytically that might give us an edge on player acquisition? I think there's just many different ways. How long? I don't let myself go there because people are going to get sick of this in a hurry, I promise you. But it comes down to I watched that team real close this year, and I see a fight in them. You know, we were talking about some other teams that we played against at the end. They just didn't have that grit and that just, I'm going to keep coming at you. And it didn't always work out how they wanted it to, but they were in those games. They were competing. They wanted to represent themselves in the game and the fans, right? That's something to start with, and then you start helping those guys improve because there was about 50% of those guys going through their sophomore year this year, which that's legit. And then you start influxing, drafting really well, developing really well. And those pieces, to me, you take whatever timeline and throw it out the window because I don't believe that we can cap the human spirit. And I don't think we can cap talent and drive and toughness and culture.
You mentioned the quality of person, and you also talked about talent. Sometimes, you know, there's a great line. It got out, however it was. Might have been me. There was an altercation that occurred one time way back in the days of Royals history, and a former Royals manager told a player, "You're not good enough to be an AH." Okay? He said the words instead of calling him an AH. And that's one of the, you know, there's handfuls of things that in this job you come across, you're like, well, that's one to live by, right? I mean, that's when you can you can really understand the whole level of it, right? There are some really talented players, and they might have a little bit of that. Hopefully they're not full-blown AH, right? But they can be irritable. They can be a handful. And you're one of the few guys I've ever heard where somehow it's a negative that everybody thinks you're a great human being. Wow. I talk to people in St. Louis. You're a great guy. I talk to people here. You're a great guy. And that almost seems to have people in Kansas City afraid that you, and I know that Dayton, nobody in this town has anything but 100% certainty that Dayton Moore is a quality human being. But there seems to be this fear that somehow maybe you can't be quality human being. You can't be great guy, nice guy, good guy, high moral character, and win in professional athletics, and that there's a fear that you guys, this is just a collection of nice guys getting together and maybe being nice guys and surrounding yourself with nice guys will miss out on talent. So how would this is an interesting phenomenon for a guy who's considered a world-class guy. We got a problem here. This guy's a nice guy. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, and I haven't either.
I've
caught a lot of different stuff being thrown around, but that's the first one on that one. So let me set the record straight on one thing is I will absolutely talk about character, but I think character and maybe morality get confused. To me, character is the people that are around you. You can trust them. You can trust them that they're going to show up. You can trust them that they're going to fight. You're going to trust them that they're going to do the right thing when you need them to do the right thing. And I don't care if it's in your industry or in mine. We need people around us with high character in order to get the things done that we have to get done when we need them to get them done. And so I don't take a lot of offense to many things, but you're not going to have to go very far to see the fight in a person like a Dayton Moore. You're not going to have to go very far to see it in me either. I've tried to lengthen my fuse a bit, but there's no doubt every day when I show up, I'm ready to fight for what's right with our guys and to defend them and to create an atmosphere to where we go out and we win. That's what we're about is you compete the moment you put that jersey on. The moment you agree to be a part of a professional organization, it is about winning. And we go out there and we hold nothing back. But, you know, I would take and it's interesting because I've looked into some other organizations. One that stands out to me in particular, the New Zealand All Blacks, the rugby team, did a little bit of a study on these guys because how do they continue to win all the time?
Right.
And from the very first page, you open up that book.
They intimidate the hell out of people with the war dance.
Yeah. I mean, these guys are tough, right? I mean, rough, tough guys. But from the very first page, what they say is we choose character over talent every single time. because they know they can depend on that, and they know that they're going to maximize the talent that they have when they have high character people. And listen, we're not out there looking for who's going to walk the most old ladies across the street or sell the most cookies or whatever it is that, people think do-gooders do. That's not what we're looking for. I want some guys that want to fight. I want some guys that want to get in there, put their nose in there, figure out a way to get us to where we want to be. And, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of different perspectives that, you can take. But that one right there, I would never waver on, because I believe every organization that you can put quality people on that you can trust, not necessarily whatever the moral standards you have. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about good people in the community. Yes, try to do things that won't become a distraction by what you're doing when you leave the field. I think that hurts a club. So that could be mixed in there. But overall, it's character. Can we trust you to do the right things that are going to let you be as good as you can be? And if you get knocked for that, man, then so be it. But for me, it's all about getting in there and getting the job done.
We're talking to Mike Matheny, Royals manager, with us here in the program. You said you don't like the word rebuild. I appreciate you hearing you say that, because I've always said rebuild is just a cover for we screwed up or we failed. I think in baseball it's different, particularly small market baseball. I say that around the NFL, that has a salary cap and has some built-in things to drag down the top and build up the bottom. I do believe, you know, the tank, right, for lack of a better term, has worked. So I think it has worked for the Astros. It has worked for the Philadelphia 76ers. I think there's a reason to take a step back, to take two steps forward. But why such a point that the word rebuild makes you bristle? Is it because you've got to walk into the clubhouse every day that you're going to play a game, and it's not okay to just think, well, 2023 is really our year?
Yeah, I don't think that's okay. And I would never want to be a part of an organization that said, listen, we're going to concede, and we don't want to go out there and put the best product out there we can put. I'm out. And that's never been a part of the conversation any place I've ever been. And I think the messaging from the manager's seat is very important. And I will continue to preach it for as long as I've been gifted with this opportunity, is that, you know what, today is the day, and today's the day we can win. And just keep focused on that. And then even break it down pitch by pitch. I'm going to win this pitch in my mind with my preparation, how I'm going to compete. And keep it simple. And I think when we start overthinking this thing, you start actually just eliminating yourself right from the beginning. And I don't think that way, because I mentioned this a little bit earlier. I don't think you can put a lid on what people can do. And all of a sudden, you've got a group of guys that just start performing at a level. And how do you do that? You believe in them. How do you do that? You push them. You challenge them. You improve them. You develop them. And you do that all the time. It's not a development process that happens at the big leagues. No, it's daily development. Me, as a manager, our coaching staff, everybody getting better every single day. And when that happens, man, how could you just go tell some of the most elite athletes in the world that they're not good enough? I don't believe it. And now, day to day, we're going to have to get in there, dig in. This is what we did. This is what we saw. The opponent, the competition is going to tell us exactly where we are, what we need to work on. And we make those adjustments. We come back the next day. We prepare and we work, and then we compete and we learn, and we start that cycle daily to where it's just relentless. And to me, I just don't feel like that's something that you ever give up on. You watch so many teams down big. You watch what the Nationals were. Everybody had given up on them by May. Right? Everybody had them written off, and then all of a sudden they figure out how to put something together, and then you go, and then you roll. Yeah, it doesn't hurt to have a Strasburg and a Scherzer. That's always nice. But with that being said, man, you get me all fired up here in my blue suede suit here. But I love the challenge of all of us making all of us better. I love the challenge of people not believing in us. I love the challenge of people writing us off months before we ever even have a team developed. And that, to me, I hope then becomes infectious through that clubhouse, to where we go out there and want to fight and prove people wrong. And I use that word fight a lot, because that's truly what it feels like. It feels like sometimes you're walking in there where it's 25, now be 26, against a whole bunch. And, you know, it's one of those bring it on, watch this. And that's a special place to be when you can pull that off.
All right, that is Seren Petro's interview with new Royals manager Mike Matheny from earlier this week. If you want to hear the entire interview, go to the podcast page, 810whb.com. Just really good stuff. Again, you can only judge him on what he's said so far in the press conference and the various interviews that Mike Matheny has done around town. I've heard a couple of those. He stopped by all the morning TV shows. He's been a man about town. So far, so good. But again, in my position, I'm not going to jump up and down one way or the other saying, no, we got an awesome guy. Or no, remember what happened in St. Louis? Yeah, he won a lot of games in St. Louis. And some things happened that maybe he didn't like. And everybody learns. Everybody grows. Everybody hopefully gets better at what they do. So I'm waiting to see. Open door. Whatever we get. So good stuff with Seren Petro there. All right, we're coming up on our final time out here. When we come back, we will get our predictions for KU K-State, and we'll pick out, we'll do our picks for the Chiefs, even though we don't know if Patrick Mahomes is playing or not. I don't think he will, but I don't know. We'll do that. Maybe we'll pick out a couple of other NFL games to kind of end with. Before we hand it off to the KU Network to get you set up for KU and K-State this afternoon, kickoff at 2:30. It's live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. This hour of Sports Saturday is brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller time. Back after this, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Yeah, yeah.
Might have to check out that brick-and-mortar Chiefs party. That's literally like right down the street from where I live. See, I'm sure St. John would just love to see me come walking through the door. This is the final segment of Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. This hour brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller time. Get ready to enjoy some college football this afternoon. We're going to hand it off to the KU Football Network here at 1 o'clock for their pregame coverage, taking you up to kickoff at 2:30. And that's all live. KU and K-State right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. One of the commercials during the break was one of those, if you had trouble quitting smoking and did you try the vapes and all that, some kind of solution to quit smoking. And Joshua Byers, who's running the show, by the way, my name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers has a very subtle sense of humor. And then after the commercial played, he has Snoop Dogg coming in. Subtly funny. I've seen Snoop do a couple of interviews since the Late Night at the Fog, and he's asked about it every time, and every time his answer is, you asked for Snoop Dogg, you got Snoop Dogg. Why was everybody surprised? All right, let's go ahead and do a couple of predictions here with the 3 minutes that we have left. We'll save KU K-State till the end. That way we'll get you to the game. Let's do a Chiefs prediction first. Chiefs and Vikings, there is no line on the game right now because nobody knows if Patrick Mahomes is going to play. So Vegas has it off the board. Either way, Joshua, you got to pick Chiefs Vikings.
I was on the home stretch yesterday. I picked the Vikings. Of course, if Mahomes plays, I'm flopping that.
Okay.
But I got to stick with it. I can't change one day and go with the other one next day.
All right.
Give me the Vikings.
All right. I'm in the same boat. If there's no Mahomes, it's Vikings, and I think it plays out probably a lot like last week's game against the Packers, where it's a little bit close, and Matt Bohr probably does okay. But if Mahomes plays, then different story. I was looking up the NFL schedule because there's not a lot of great stuff this week. If you're looking for even matchups, Texans-Jaguars could be interesting. You could have, Houston's favored by 1.5. Okay. That could be interesting. Boy, there's just some ugly games. Bears-Eagles could be interesting for just because whoever loses is just going to be in a world of misery for another week. Colts-Steelers. This one is dead even. It's in Pittsburgh, and it's dead even. That kid they got playing quarterback in Pittsburgh didn't do too bad last week, putting up some decent numbers. Titans-Panthers battle the two teams that may be with different starting quarterbacks next year, even though neither one of those starters will be starting tomorrow. Lions-Raiders I find interesting because I think the Lions are a good football team that just hasn't played up to their level. Oakland favored by 2.5. All right, final minute, so let's get our KU predictions. Johnny Beck, who we lost the signal on, the former KU player, tweeted me. His prediction is 24-23 KU. Johnny Beck going a little homer on that one. K-State is favored by 5 in this game, by the way. Joshua, your prediction for K-State at KU?
I'm agreeing that it's going to be close. but I think the Cats, they may just cover that five.
Yeah. I think the Cats control the clock, therefore probably won't score a lot. So I'm going to go 24-17 K-State. But I think it could be a really good game. I hope it is, because for the first time in years, it actually means something. All right, thank you to all our guests who joined us today. Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com, David Leske from Baseball Prospectus and Royals Review, Johnny Beck from the KUTV Network. Thank you to Joshua Byers for running the show today. Thank you for Michael DiMaggio to coming in and is going to run the rest of the day and actually has a really good attitude and brightens up the place, whatever. My name is Brad Porter. This hour is brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller Time. See you next time.